Everyone, and welcome to class number 7 of Startup School with Startup Canada and Microsoft. Startup School is a program of Startup Canada Live, a webinar series dedicated to the professional development of Canada's entrepreneurs and community leaders. My name is Catherine Forrest, and I am the Communications, Marketing, and Government Relations Manager here at Startup Canada. I'll be your host for today, and I'll introduce our featured guest in just a few moments. Today's Startup School's topic looks at the cloud for startups. Today's Startup School is powered by Microsoft Canada, a subsidiary of Microsoft Corporation, a global leader in innovative software and services that ensure businesses succeed. Using the cloud can be a cost-effective and innovative way to improve the quality of your startup. Are you interested in taking advantage of the cloud to stay ahead of your competitors? Today, you can learn tips and tools on how the cloud can improve your business processes. So our featured guest today is Adarsha Datta from Microsoft Canada. Adarsha is the startup lead and technical evangelist at Startup Canada. As his title suggests, he is passionate about and loves talking about startups and technology, and he's currently focused on the cloud, machine learning, and Internet of Things. As an evangelist, Adarsha enables and supports developers, students, and startups with Microsoft technologies and services. He considers himself an educator, a community developer, and engages cloud users through involvement in events, camps, hackathons, conferences, and other online and social channels. When Adarsha isn't busy doing these things, he's either on the squash court or listening to music or even improving his cooking. So lots to learn from Adarsha today. So he will do a 40 to 15 minute presentation on the cloud for startups, and then you will have an opportunity to ask your questions via Twitter using the hashtag Startup School or by leaving comments on the YouTube channel. We'll do our very best to get them answered before the end of the hour. So let's get started. Adarsha, over to you.
Thank you so much, Catherine. That was an excellent introduction. Yeah, I know I said a lot of things, but today we are only going to focus on cloud and startups because that's probably one of my biggest passion that I'm doing. So I'm just going to click on share screen and share my screen. Okay, so I hope you guys can see my screen.
Yes, we can. We're great. Thanks.
Perfect. Okay, so a little bit of introduction has already been given about me, what I do, but essentially my title is the startup lead. So I basically work with startups day in and day out. I keep going to a lot of conferences. I keep going to a lot of startup hubs, such as Moz Discovery District in Toronto itself. In Montreal, we go to Founder Fuel. In Communitech, Waterloo region. So we keep going to different startup hubs and try and spread the word of how technology has improved and what kind of technology improvements you can take advantage of as a startup. And one of the most important advancements which has happened in the field of technology for startups also is the cloud. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today. So the way I have structured today's presentation is basically to give you guys an idea about why would you want to consider the cloud. And once we have figured out why would you want to consider the cloud, we're going to talk about what is the cloud. So I'm going to give you guys a basic idea about what the cloud is. I'm trying to keep a pretty broad audience in mind. So you can be a founder, you can be a tech guy, you can be a completely non-technical background person, and hopefully you would be able to understand what I'm trying to tell you guys. And after we've discussed about what is the cloud, I'm going to break into talking about how would you want to get up on the cloud. So we're going to talk about some of the technologies. Again, I'm not going to delve into the in-depth technologies. We can get on to the Q&A for that, or you can connect with me later on so we can talk about how you really want to get onto it. But I do want to give you guys an idea about how can you get up on the cloud. And yeah, so I think that's what the agenda is. And without wasting more time, let's just start on what and why would you want to get on the cloud. Okay, so as any other startup would start their pitch, I'm going to start up with a story today. So meet Kara. Her name is not really Kara. I don't really know what her name is. She looked like Kara to me, so I've just named her Kara for this presentation. And she's a founder. She's highly driven. She has a fantastic idea. And in this case, let's assume she has a technology background and she's ready to build the next disruptor. So I'm pretty sure a lot of you out there will relate yourself to what Kara is and how she approaches her life. Like, she just wakes up, okay, I have a fantastic idea. I need to work on it I need to work on it. I need to do something about it. So where would she start? Now, the first step is generally what I've heard from a lot of founders starts in a napkin. So let's assume we've gone past the stage of deciding what you want to do on a napkin, and let's just think about, since Kara has a technical background, let's think that she gets directly on her laptop or on her desktop or whatever workstation she has, and she starts coding and developing her product. So while doing that, the first thing she does is installs her development environment wherein she can actually build the product that she wants to, right? And she comes up with, and after probably a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of coffee, she comes up with the first MVP, as we call it. It's called the minimum viable product. Now, the minimum viable product is one of the most important parts and one of the most important milestones that a startup goes through, which gives him or her a fair idea of what he or she wants to try and build. And that can be showcased to the potential customers, right? So once you have reached the stage of the minimum viable product, the next thing you go to is first few customers. So you just select the first few target customers. The target customers can be as simple as, you know, your mother, your father, your partner, your best friend, or anyone that you really know that you would want to get them tested, get their feedback from them. Once you have tested that product through a few test customers, you get back onto your drawing board and you try and figure out what's next, how can we incorporate the feedback into our MVP and make an improvement to the MVP to ensure a product market fit of our technological product that we have built. And then with a little bit of marketing activity, what you get is one more customer. Then you get more customers. Then you get more customers. And that is how you build a business. So essentially, it all starts with an idea. You start developing a product. You reiterate your product. You reiterate quite a few times till you have a good product before you go to market. Once you have finalized the product market fit, you launch your product, and then customers start flowing in. Basically, you have found the next disruptive technology or the next disruptive company. But all this sounds really good. All this sounds very glorified and sounds very easy because I literally said all these steps in a matter of 2 to 3 minutes. But in reality, it's not really that easy. What happens is that challenges come up. Yes, my friends, that's right, challenges. So what are some of the challenges that Kara will be facing once she starts building her customer base? The first challenge she faces is scale. Now, when we started talking about what Kara was doing, Kara basically built her product on her own workstation. Let's assume it's some kind of a MacBook or it's some kind of a Windows machine, right? So it'll have probably 4 gigs of RAM. It'll have 250 gigs of hard disk, 8 cores in terms of the CPU power that laptop might be having. Now, once the product is getting more and more used by its customer, the laptop or the workstation is completely exhausted of its resources. Because more customers come in, the more resources the computer needs. In order to service the needs of Kara's customer, Kara needs to upgrade to a new system. Now, that's quite challenging because what she essentially needs to do is go to the shop, get more servers, get all of that attached, make some changes so that her entire product gets hosted across the different servers, right? All of those happens. So that is where her biggest challenge is scale. With her customer base scaling out, how does she ensure that her IT infrastructure, which is supporting the product, also scales out? The next challenge she faces is speed to deployment. Now, I just said, right, that it's actually very interrelated. It's very related to scale. So I said, as and when her customer base is growing, she needs to ensure that her IT infrastructure also grows. Now, if she has everything in terms of the hardware under her desk, in terms of having one server, she goes and adds another server, by the time more and more customers come in, she will not be able to go to the shop, buy a server, get it installed, get it configured, and support the same product across the 2 to 3 different servers. So speed to deployment gets severely hampered if she's still hosting everything on her own hardware. So that's the second challenge she faces in terms of how do you scale out your IT infrastructure to ensure that your speed to deployment is as early as possible. Now there's another challenge which comes out here, especially in the startup world these days. If you have a product and you're not early enough in the market, someone can easily copy and build on top of what you've already built. This is the reason why the speed of deployment is of utmost importance. So big, big, big challenge that Kara has to face. The third challenge she faces is security. Now, she does have a technology background. Yes, she has been hosting the entire product on her own workstation right now. She might be having a couple of antivirus softwares which are running on that. But when we are talking about a real life scenario, there are hackers out there. There are people who want to disrupt companies. Like, it's become so common these days. We keep hearing someone has hacked into Yahoo's system, into so many big company system, and stolen all the user records, right? So security is of utmost importance, and she really needs to take care of that. So that's the third challenge she faces. And finally, it's about the cost. Now, as more and more customers come in, she might be buying one server, she might be buying another server, she might even be buying a third server, in order to ensure that when she has a multiplied customer base, her IT infrastructure should be big enough to be able to support all of these new customers which have got onboarded, right? And this kind of a cost is capital expenditure, because what she's doing is she is going and buying the entire server for herself to use. Now, at peak times, she has to ensure that there is enough compute resources to support her services that she's providing. On the flip side, when there is a lull time happening, for example, in the night, for example, in a season where the customers are not really getting onto her website, she still has to continuously run and maintain all the different servers that she's using. So that is called capital expenditure. She is spending in spite of the fact that it's not really being used that much. So in terms of cost, she's already doing something called as capital expenditure she does not really want to do. And the answer to each and every of these challenges comes through cloud computing. So that's exactly what I'm going to talk to you today. I'm going to tell you how, by using cloud computing, Kara can overcome the challenges of scale, speed of deployment, security, and cost. All right, so the next thing is, now that we know what are the challenges and how, and we also know that the cloud can actually help Kara with those challenges, let's actually define what cloud computing is, right? So what is the cloud? Okay, so this is exactly what Kara's workstation was. It was her own system in her own house, probably in her own garage. And the basic components have been stacked up in this column. It's pretty interesting and important to understand this. At the basic layer, there is networking, storage, servers, and virtualization. So that's the bottom of the stack. Okay. On top of that sits another layer called as a platform, which is the OS, the middleware, runtime. And on top of that sits the third layer, which is called as data and applications. Now, in the past, even the largest and the biggest of the companies, they all had their own private data centers. And this can be thought of as a schematic representation of a data center. So this can be your own workstation, or for big, large enterprises, it can be an entire data center. So all of this consists of the on-premise model, as we call it, on-prem model. Now, this is old school. These days, what is happening is people are moving to the cloud. And so let's talk about what the cloud is. So the first model of the cloud is called as infrastructure as a service. And in infrastructure of a service, it is about a public cloud vendor providing the service for you. Okay. So when the network, storage, servers, and virtualization is managed by a public cloud vendor, and by means of a public cloud vendor, I'm talking about Microsoft, I'm talking about Google, I'm talking about Amazon Web Services, I'm talking about IBM SoftLayer. So all of these are the big giants who are public cloud vendors, and all of us compete in this field pretty healthily, I would say, very, very competitive. But point is that we have our own massive data centers across the world, and we provide these services for customers such as you guys, such as startups, such as enterprises, so that you do not have to spend on having, you do not have to go through the capital expenditure of hosting your own IT infrastructure. We take that headache off you, and we come to you guys and tell you, hey, you know what? We have our own data centers. We can provide this service to you. All you need to do is pay for it. As simple as that. So that is exactly what the as-a-service model is. And essentially moves someone from a capital expenditure to an operational expenditure, an OPEX, as we call it, because you're essentially paying the public cloud vendor on a monthly basis of exactly how much you are using. Okay, so bottom line is when a public cloud vendor is providing and hosting the bottom layer, which is networking, storage, servers, and virtualization, which we call as the basic infrastructure, that is infrastructure as a service. And all you manage is the OS, middleware, runtime, data, and applications. Now, if Kara knew about cloud computing at that point of time, she would probably come to one of the cloud vendors and directly say, hey, you know what? I want a server which has 5 cores, 8 gigs of RAM, and it should be a Linux box. Boom. That's something called as a virtual machine. So virtual machine gets automatically provisioned up on the cloud for Kara to use. And then she can install her own environment. She can install her own development environment. And she can start developing her product directly up onto the virtual machine. So that is infrastructure as a service. The next model, which is pretty important to understand, is platform as a service. Now, this essentially is when the public cloud vendor is supporting the all the layers up till the runtime. That is called platform as a service. So as a customer of someone who's using platform as a service, they do not have to worry about the infrastructure at all. Neither do they have to worry about the updates of the platform. A very easy example, an easy way to understand this, is something like a database. Now, in general, databases need to be installed on your servers. You need to make sure that the database software remains updated. You need to ensure that the license keeps getting updated too. So there's a lot of management part of it, overhead, which you need to take care of if you continue to work in the current in the way we currently work. But in platform as a service, what a Microsoft or a Google or an Amazon is telling you is that, hey, you know what? We will make sure that all the software and all the entire platform is up to date. All you need to do is manage the data, and we are going to provide proper endpoints for you to talk to it. And once you can talk to it, you can do anything with it. So that is exactly what platform as a service is. So think about one of the examples is database as a service. We're going to cover this a little more later, and you'll probably get a better understanding of what the platform as a service model is. Okay, now all these together are called as the hosting models, which means that someone like Kara, she has built a technological product and she wants to host her product on a highly scalable, highly secure, highly environment in order to make sure that her customers are always happy with the service and the performance of the product that they are trying to use. So this is what the hosting model is. The on-prem is the old school model. The new school model is infrastructure as a service, wherein the bare infrastructure is hosted by the vendor, and you manage from OS onto the application layer. And the next one is platform as a service, where the vendor is managing everything till the runtime, and what you as a customer are managing is data and applications. Now there's a third model to this, and that is called as software as a service. Now, some of you might have already heard of this term. I would imagine most of you might have heard of this term. A lot of startups are coming up in this model, and that's why it's called as a business model. So the end one, when the entire stack is managed by the vendor, that is called as software as a service. So you don't really do anything as an end user of software as a service. All you're doing is consuming the services provided by the software. Okay? Now, from a definition perspective, I hope you guys have an understanding of what are the differences. But now let's go to some examples, some real life examples to actually give you an idea of what each model is for you to understand. Okay, so the first one we said infrastructure as a service. Now you can see some of the companies mentioned in infrastructure as a service. There is Amazon Web Services, there is Microsoft Azure, there's Google Compute, there's SoftLayer, which was bought over by IBM, there is Rackspace Hosting. So all of these companies are basically providing you the infrastructure for you to host your applications. That is infrastructure as a service. Platform as a service, I've mentioned a couple of things I've mentioned. Amazon Web Services also plays in the platform as a service field. Microsoft Azure plays there. Firebase, which was recently, not recently, about a year, year and a half ago, I think, taken over by Google. They are also a platform as a service. And the fourth example is nothing but a database up on the cloud, which is database as a service. So when the platform is provided to you as a service, that's called as platform as a service. Now, the last one, which is the business models, software as a service, there are tons and tons of examples these days. There is Dropbox. Now think about it. In Dropbox, you basically are consuming the services. You're not really managing any part of it. You're just using the services to store your file. Likewise, there's Google Drive. There is Office 365, which also has OneDrive, Salesforce, Shopify. All of these are nothing but software as a service because these are directly provided to you as a service, and all you do is consume the services provided by them. Now, I would like to point out that from the perspective of a startup, most startups these days are trying to build some form of a software as a service because that's the gap in the market which really exists. For example, Salesforce came up with a CRM tool up on the cloud, and they're one of the biggest billion-dollar companies these days. Office 365 was not, it was basically Microsoft Office in the past. But then we realized a huge movement of everything going up on the cloud, and that is why we built Office 365, which is software as a service. All you're doing is consuming Microsoft Word, Microsoft PowerPoint, Microsoft Office, everything up on the cloud. So these are the three different models along with the examples. I hope it's pretty clear to everyone. If it's not, please do ask the question and I'll try and clarify this doubt easily for you guys. Okay, so now what I thought I'm going to do is I'm just going to go back to the previous slide. And so we spoke about the different models, right? And I'm going to show you how does a public cloud vendor like a Microsoft provide services of infrastructure as a service as well as platform as a service. Okay, so I'm just going to go back. And okay, so now the first things we spoke about is infrastructure as a service. If you remember the stack, it had networking, storage, virtualization, and compute, which is nothing but the cores. So in infrastructure as a service, you basically have virtual machines, containers, you have storage, you have networking. And Microsoft has, okay, this slide is a little outdated, I guess, because there are, last I checked, there was 28 regions. So there are 28 regions around the world where we have our data centers. Now, just to give you some idea about the stats, Amazon and Google combined do not have 28 data centers across the world. That is what our investment in cloud services has been, only because we realize the demand and the entire shift of the industry moving towards the cloud. And we came up with 28 data centers. It's still increasing. In fact, not even a month ago, probably a month ago by now, we launched our data centers in Canada also so that you can host your data in our own soil in Canada. So at the most bottom layer, there is our data centers, which are supporting our cloud services. The first layer that we put on that is the infrastructure as a service. So there's networking, storage, and compute. Example of that is virtual machines. Now, I don't want to scare you guys, but oops, what happened there? Yeah, okay. So platform as a service is where the sweet spot of Microsoft Azure lies. And we essentially have a lot of platform as a service, and that acts like one of our biggest differentiators in the market today. So as you can see, all of these services are provided to you so that you do not have to code from scratch to build some of these services. So if you look at the middle one out here, which is web and mobile, it essentially means that we already have created the website for you. All you need to do is design the UX, make sure it's talking to the database, and push your code onto the web app. Boom, it's done. As far as mobile apps are concerned, the entire backend of it can be supported and hosted on Azure. One of the most interesting spaces to work these days, I think most of you might have heard of it, is advanced analytics. And we have a fantastic solution around advanced analytics. We have HD Insight up on the cloud, which is basically Hadoop clusters up on the cloud. Now, think about it. If all of this was not up on the cloud, then you had to invest your own money and buy these massive grid computing servers, install your Hadoop clusters, and then you would be able to do big data. Think about the cost. Think about the time to market. Think about all of those things that you can cut by actually moving on to the cloud. So you have your entire Hadoop cluster up on the cloud. Machine learning is one of those technologies which is literally redefining the way startups are working, companies are working. It's helping us identify what's going to happen in the future. Now, who doesn't want to predict the future? Everyone wants to know what's happening in the future by developing a lot of pattern analysis. And that entire platform to develop any kind of machine learning algorithms is hosted up on the cloud for you to build your projects, for you to train your model, everything up on the cloud. I'm not going to dig into each of these, but the basic idea is that whatever services you need, you would want to first check if there's a platform as a service version available for it or not, and then decide how you can customize that platform as a service, because your time to market is very, very crucial these days. If earlier you're in the market, earlier you catch your customers before some competitor gets into the market and eats part of your share. So platform as a service is a very good way to go about, and it's completely targeted to developer audience for them to develop their products on that. The third and the fourth things we mentioned about Azure or rather any cloud computing platform was the security and the management. And as you can see, there are a lot of ways you manage your security up on the cloud. So we will talk about security a little more in detail later, but this essentially was not meant to scare you guys, but just to show you guys the amazing amount of services which are there on the cloud that you can, or someone like Kara, can leverage in order to build a product as quickly as possible, as securely as possible, to manage the scale requirements of the economics these days, of the internet scale that's required these days. So that's platform as a service and infrastructure as a service for you on Azure. Okay, this is an interesting conversation to have. So think about it this way. I am going to go back to the slide. I can, as Kara started developing her own project on her own machine, right? I said, let's start with step one and tell her that, why don't you start hosting your website on the cloud? So she goes, spins a virtual machine, hosts her application on that virtual machine. Right, but still she has to install her development environment, and she has to go through the entire process of making sure that the dev environment is updated. So that's still infrastructure as a service. Now, so for example, she installed a database to use as a service. Now, database as a service exists as a PaaS solution also, a platform as a service solution. If she goes the PaaS route, then her go-to-market will be a lot more faster, because she doesn't have to go through the overhead of creating that database and going through that. So when you move from PaaS to IaaS, there is always a trade-off. you always need to clearly think whether you want to lose on customizability versus how quickly you want to get onto the market. So this is an important consideration. It's a little interesting to know what's really happening out there, but we can talk in greater detail about what you should choose when you are moving to the cloud, whether you should go for IaaS or whether you should go for PaaS. Okay, so by now, I hope you guys have an idea of what cloud computing is all about. So I'll just recap what we basically spoke till now. So the first thing we spoke about is, why is it important for a startup to consider the cloud? And we spoke about four main reasons why a startup should consider the cloud. We started talking about scale, we spoke about security, we talked about time to market, and we talked about economics, the cost. And so those are the basic challenges. Next, we defined what the cloud technology is, where we spoke about the three different models of cloud services. The first one is infrastructure as a service, which is simply a virtual machine. Think about your own machine up on the cloud. The second one was platform as a service, which is basically giving you the entire platform up on the cloud for you to develop on it rather than building everything from scratch. And the final model was the SaaS model. Most startups these days are coming up with SaaS business models because that is exactly what provides you internet scale. It lets you reach out to a large set of audience in a much more easier way. Right, so we spoke about the why, the what, and now let's talk about how. So now you're a startup, now you're Kara, okay? And you want to start on the cloud. You say that, okay, my machine is not powerful enough. I need to get a big, powerful machine to start on the cloud, to start my developing my product. The first thing to consider is, or the first way you would want to think about getting up on the cloud is by using a virtual machine. In fact, when we look at the stats of which cloud services are most highly used, virtual machine is definitely amongst the top usages of virtual machine. So it's as simple as think about your machine up on the cloud. All you need to do is define the amount of CPU cores you need, the amount of RAM you need, and the amount of storage you need. That's step one. Step two is you define the platform you want to develop on, whether it's a Linux environment, which is an open source environment you want to develop your product on, or you want to develop on a Windows platform. So it's completely open. And once you've defined that, you need to install your entire dev stack. You need to install all the other dependabilities, all the libraries, and then start working on your product. And Virtual Machine Act gives you the maximum amount of flexibility, maximum amount of customizability in terms of how you want to handle, what ports you want to export, where you want to listen for customers to come in and start using your services. So that is what a virtual machine is, infrastructure as a service. The next thing that you might want to consider as a startup is mobile services and web apps. Now, a lot of startups these days directly start on the cloud. They're called as born in the cloud startups, right? All they're doing is they're hosting their softwares up on the cloud, and the only interface that they have is a web app or a native mobile app, okay? So when you have the services provided to you by a public cloud vendor, such as a Microsoft or an Amazon or Google for that matter, they provide you with the basic, I would call the framework to host your website. So that is called as a web app. And on the other side, if you have a native mobile, if you want to provide a native mobile experience, you want to develop your app on either an iOS platform or a Windows platform or an Android platform. But think about it this way. Will your life not be made much better if you have just one backend and each of these three interfaces that you've made can directly connect with that? That is exactly what platform as a service is. It's a mobile backend as a service. So think about an application. Think about all the services that a regular app will have. It needs storage. It needs authentication. It needs notification services. It needs quite a few of these services, and all of that has already been built and exported as mobile backend as a service for you to use. And you can connect either an Android app to it or an iOS app to it or a Windows app to it. Obviously, the advantage being that all of them have a common base and common data storage that they can access the data from. So this is the second way that you might want to think about going up on the cloud. The third, and this is pretty interesting and very, very important to understand, is a lot of companies are moving their data up on the cloud. Okay. Now, the big enterprises are also moving it, but we'll talk about big enterprises later because it doesn't really relate to you much. But the whole world, especially internet scale applications, are moving from an SQL, that's a relational database, to a non-relational database these days. And in order to get that internet scale requirements, having a NoSQL database, having a database which does not have that many constraints of a relational database, is being accepted by most of the applications. So for example, MongoLab is providing MongoDB services up on the cloud. DocumentDB is another NoSQL database which is up on the cloud. Likewise, you have ClearDB, which is MySQL services up on the cloud. And obviously, the most often used, probably the most used these days, till date, is SQL services, which you can get up on the cloud. So for someone who is used to using these database services, being hosted on their own local machine, it does not really take too much to understand as to how platform as a service works, because in platform as a service, everything is up on the cloud. All you are doing is exposing a TDS endpoint, and your application directly talks to that endpoint, and it behaves as though that was on your own system, on your own premise, in the way you would work beforehand. So platform as a service doesn't take too much in terms of understanding how it really works. There's a reason why I put the slide also because of the way, or rather the trends which we are seeing in the startup ecosystem these days. A lot of companies are investing heavily on big data and on advanced analytics workload. In fact, the IoT Hub is one of the most important advancements in cloud technology these days. Think about, for people who've not heard of Internet of Things these days, it's essentially a lot of sensors which have been placed across different parts of your product or your entire environment, and it's streaming huge and huge amounts of data. Now, there has to be a particular place where all that data has to be sent. Now, often your computer will get completely clogged if at all that data is sent onto your own workstation or your own computer. And there's a reason why everything is streamed up on the cloud. So the IoT Hub does a fantastic job in terms of getting all the data and applying some analytics on it and take real-life, real-time actions onto the data which gets streamed onto it. Likewise, we already spoke a little bit about machine learning. We spoke about Hadoop clusters up on the cloud. We spoke about machine learning up on the cloud. But all of these are very, very interesting services, which, most importantly, you do not have to build from scratch in order to adopt these advancements of technologies. It's all there for you to use. Media services, content delivery network. Platform as a service is really, really the way to go. But again, I'm going to talk about there's always a trade-off when you adopt a platform as a service. You do lose a little bit of customizability, which also means that there is a skill up phase for you to learn how to use that platform as a service, as compared to if you start from scratch, make your own customized environment and start using. But there are tremendous advantages of platform as a service. The primary one being your implementation time reduces a lot. Your management overhead reduces a lot. So those are very, very important considerations in platform as a service. Okay, so I basically described some of the technologies using which you can go up on the cloud. So I'm just going to quickly reiterate from an infrastructure as a from an infrastructure as a service perspective, you can start with virtual machines. From a platform as a service perspective, you can always start with mobile apps and web apps. You can start with databases, and there are a whole lot of new technologies you can start with. Okay, so that's what covers our how you can actually move on to the cloud. And now let's talk about how can we get you started. Now, in Microsoft, we have this program called as the BizSpark program, which is essentially the program which has been designed for startups. You get a lot of free cloud hosting softwares on that. So just to give you an idea of what you get from the BizSpark program is you get up to $120,000 of free credits on Azure. You get a lot of free softwares and tools. Now, Microsoft is a software company, and we have fantastic dev tools for you to use. You can get the right support. So someone like myself or some of my colleagues who really know the technology and understand the technology well can help you on a one-to-one basis about how you want to design your technology backend. We can connect you with our enterprise customers who may be very relevant to you, who may become one of your biggest paying customers sometime. You can be a part of the community startups and technical advisors. And finally, you get access to hundreds and hundreds of training courses for free. And all of this is for free. The BizSpark program is a free program for sure. I'm reiterating it again and again. So I think that's what all I had in terms of covering about what the cloud is, or rather, let me just go back and tell you how I covered, and then we can take more questions. I think I'm a little ahead of time. So we started with talking about why the cloud is relevant to you as a startup, and we spoke about four big challenges as to why you would want to care about the cloud. We spoke about scale, we spoke about time to market, security, and the fourth one I forget, but it's definitely there. The next thing we spoke about, what is the cloud? And we defined the three different models of cloud services. And finally, we spoke about how would you want to get on the cloud? And we spoke about the different services which you want to take up as being on the cloud. So, and then we spoke about, in order to get started from Microsoft, we have a program called the BizSpark, and these are the various offers that you get from the BizSpark program. If you want to apply, all you need to do is go to bizspark.com, click on join, and you can apply. And Catherine, I think that was the last slide I had, so over to you.
Oh, that was perfect. Thank you so much, Adarsha. That was a very comprehensive presentation. I definitely learned a lot, and I know that my colleague Rochelle has been tweeting out some of the key points from your presentation, and I would encourage everyone to check out the BizSpark resource there. And so now we're going to open it up to questions from our audience. Mm-hmm. To get us started, I was hoping maybe you could tell us a bit about the training programs that are available through BizSpark.
Right, yeah. So from Microsoft, we have something called as a Microsoft Virtual Academy. And the Virtual Academy is actually a free service which is available publicly for everyone and anyone to go and search for the technology tutorial that they need. So we have two assets, as you would call it. We call it the Microsoft Virtual Academy and Channel 9. These are the two main places where people can go and find out exactly what technology they want to get educated on. And that's completely free and publicly available for everyone.
That's awesome. That's really mm-hmm. fantastic. Can I get you to perhaps put your camera back on just so our audience can see your wonderful face as we chat?
Oh, sorry. I'm just going to click
on. No worries. No worries at all.
Switch off the screen share. Okay, yeah.
Perfect. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, same here.
All right. So we do have a question that's come in to us about security. So what are your top tips for being secure when you're using a cloud platform?
Yeah, so this is probably the most commonly asked questions is about security. Now, think about it this way. A company like a Microsoft or a Google or even an Amazon Web Services for that matter, we all know the prime requirement for any of our customers is security. So we have developed the right technologies in order to make sure that all the services we are providing are completely secure. It goes through a secure shell, SSL. We have all the compliances out there. So if at all it's a health company, they primarily care about the HIPAA compliance or the BAA compliance. So we all have those compliances in place to make sure that we are providing the most secure platform for our customers.
That's really good to know. I'm sure that all the startups listening are very pleased to hear that as well. Yeah. And you talked briefly about the future of the cloud. You talked about machine learning and these sorts of things. Yeah. So how can a startup company, for those who might not yet have access to that kind of information, how can they use that to really augment their business?
Right. In fact, this is one of the most eureka moments I had couple of months ago, when I was talking to some of the startups, and this company was actually a pharmaceutical company, and they just came up with one product, and they were thinking about moving towards a technology company, and they wanted to build a technology platform and provide some services to their clients. And when we spoke about, we realized that what they're going to do is collect a lot of data about their clients, and once they have that data, that can act as a massive resource for them that they can leverage. Now, all companies these days collect a lot of data, but only if you look into that data set, you will be able to understand what relationship exists and how you can leverage that data set to predict future predictions, to find out something, some anomaly detection kind of an algorithms which you can use. You can cluster, you can segment your market accordingly. So data has a beautiful story in it, which a lot of us need to really delve into to understand. So the way I look at it, each and every startup, each and every enterprise has some application of machine learning and advanced analytics. It's just that they need to have the time to invest to figure out how they can actually leverage it.
Right, and I actually had the pleasure of attending the Microsoft Build conference last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice.
And yeah, it was a great conference, and they had a number of examples there as case studies of how companies are using machine learning, and I was wondering if maybe you could share some of those with our audience.
Oh, yeah. So, in fact, over this weekend, I was at UFT and University of Toronto, and we did a hackathon. And the main theme of the hackathon was artificial intelligence and machine learning. The kind of hacks which we saw there was just amazing. Like, there was this guy who came up with an awkward meter as to how awkward can a person be while texting. Now, those are very, very small kind of fun applications, but the basic idea is artificial intelligence and automating bot frameworks is a huge, huge application these days. We just launched our Microsoft Cognitive Services, which has a huge bunch of APIs, which is essentially machine learning trained algorithms, which are spitting out answers to you about what the future is, about what kind of predictions can come up, what can you expect, what kind of analysis is going on. So all that already exists for you to start using.
That's very cool. I'm very excited to see how some of that data changes how we live our lives in the near future.
Yep.
So aside from machine learning, how do you see the cloud being used in 5 to 10 years? Is it going entirely in that direction, or what are some of the things that we might not expect to see happen?
Right. So one of the biggest applications of cloud is definitely from a storage perspective also. Another very, very key trend these days is IoT, Internet of Things. And Internet of Things is essentially sensors streaming tons and tons of data. Not tons, sorry, bytes and kilobytes and gigabytes and terabytes of data. And there needs to be some storage for that to get stored. So that's where the cloud application is huge. And think about all the compute services which go up on the cloud also, right? So the IoT and the ML both together form a beautiful environment where everything can happen up on the cloud. So it's a combination of cloud, IoT, and compute technology, which is definitely the future of cloud computing. And I think a lot of it is moving towards platform as a service. Now, the adoption of platform as a service is going a little slowly, but the fact is most of them will start using platform as a service over infrastructure as a service because time to market is much quicker, it's a service existing for you to use. Why do you want to start everything from scratch and doing it? So there's a huge trend towards the adoption of platform as a service too.
Yeah, and that was one of my other questions. Seeing that there are so many different types of platforms and services, is there some place within Microsoft or elsewhere that an entrepreneur can go to, you know, be mentored or coached on where to go first?
Yeah, so I think the first place to start is if you're not thinking about from a product perspective, if you just want to educate yourself from a technology perspective, you would want to start off with basic documentation and, you know, one-on-one tutorials for sure. Or if at all you can reach out to one of us within Microsoft, all of us technology evangelists who exist in Microsoft are more than happy to help people, founders, anyone, maybe students to understand what is the cloud and how they can actually use it. So we're more than happy to help talk to them and figure that part out too. From a documentation perspective, from a education tutorial perspective, there are tons and tons out there. And we keep creating a lot more content. We try and keep those content updated also. So MVA and Channel 9 are fantastic resources for that.
Perfect. And that can all be accessed through BizSpark, is that correct?
Actually, the MVA and the Channel 9 is public. It doesn't even have to be through BizSpark.
No, perfect.
BizSpark works really well when you want to get on the cloud. It gives you free credits. The criteria for a startup, the way we look at it, is you have to be less than 5 years old, you have to have less than $1 million in revenue, then you are a startup for us. And you have to be building some kind of a technology product as opposed to consulting services that you provide. So if that's a criteria you face, then you can avail the BizSpark program, which is a beautiful program and basically a channel through which we help startups.
That's perfect. So I've got a couple minutes left, so I'm just going to remind everyone who is listening that we do have a few moments to ask some more questions from Adarsha. But I'll ask you, what are your top tips or final tips for startup entrepreneurs who are looking to migrate to the cloud? Top thing to keep in mind.
Top thing to keep in mind is, I think the biggest question I get is scale. Scale is the biggest challenge that most of the startup and entrepreneurs face. It may be that they are from a tech background or even not from a tech background. If you're a founder and your company's not scaling with respect to the customers who are coming to you, there is a problem out there. So scale is one of the biggest concerns, and it's very important for either the founder or his CTO to really understand how to define or design the architecture which is going to be a highly available, highly scalable architecture whenever you're going on the cloud. As far as security is concerned, I think the topic of security can left to the public cloud vendor directly because that's what their responsibility is also. But from a design and architecture perspective, that's where a huge homework has to be done to ensure you're highly available, highly scalable, and a very high-performant product. Otherwise, your customers will not be happy with what you're providing.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps, actually, I'm curious as well to know, once you're using the cloud, you've also talked about how, speed to market and access to customers and things like this.
Yeah.
So can you, for somebody who's not on the cloud, can you kind of describe to us how that works? So for somebody who's considering getting onto that platform but it's not quite there and they can't quite piece together how that all comes together.
Right, sure. So if you're not on the cloud, you're basically hosting your product on your own servers. Probably your servers are under your table right now. Now, when you have 10 customers, you're good. Your servers have to be always 24/7 on. So you're consuming a lot of electricity. It has to be always on. But once you go from 10 to 100 customers, you realize that the compute power is not good enough. That time you need to go buy another computer. Okay, so every time you want to scale up, you need to go and buy your additional resources one by one by one. Now, if you were on the cloud, all you had to do is either set up a rule, and this is all auto-scalable, right? On the cloud, the best advantage is you can auto-scale. So you can actually say, if my computer resources utilization is more than 80%, then I will scale it by two more instances. So there'll be two additional automatically auto-scaled instances supporting your product. Now that happens in no time. That happens by just that rule statement that you make. Now that's not possible if you're not up on the cloud. That's one aspect. The second aspect, and I think I did not touch upon this, is collaboration. Mm-hmm. Now cloud enables a lot of collaboration. So I can develop on the same virtual machine that my colleague is developing on the same virtual machine by just sharing the access. If I'm developing on my local machine, then my other partner will not have direct access to my local machine. So from a collaboration perspective, it's huge too.
Yeah, certainly. So in the startup space, collaboration is huge. Mm-hmm. So are you talking about this within, is the collaboration that's going on mostly within companies, or is it also collaboration amongst, various stakeholders and people within similar or even competing sectors?
So collaboration within the team definitely has been enabled by the cloud, mm-hmm. for sure. I'm not really too sure I understand the competing sectors part.
Yes. So I'm wondering, when you've got this, you're on the cloud, and you're wanting to learn from innovations from other companies. Is that? Yeah.
So from a compete point of view, I know of startups who are hosting some of their workloads on Microsoft's Azure, some of their workloads on AWS and Amazon Web Services, and some on Google. So there is definitely a trend of a hybrid compute environment which is working out there. So that is one of the biggest things a lot of startups especially are trying to not have all their eggs in one basket. So they're having it across different compete organizations. But that's definitely a trend which is there from a hybrid compute perspective.
Awesome. That's very cool. Well, that wraps up most of the time that we have today. Mm-hmm. But for anyone who is listening, you can still submit your questions on Twitter using hashtag Startup School, and we will make sure that Adarsha does receive them
Absolutely.
And is able to respond to them. So a huge thank you to you, Adarsha, and to everyone who has tuned in today, and to Microsoft mm-hmm. for your expertise and support of the Startup School program. We will be live tweeting the recording of this session, so you can come back and reference it at any time. So next, I encourage you to join us for the next Startup School on June 13th, when we'll be talking with Brad Pinch from Concierge Service about building your startup's client base. So you can check out startupcan.ca/events for more information on that. And if you are looking for more startup inspiration, you can join us on Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time for Startup Chats, when we will be discussing FinTech in Canada. And on Friday this week, we'll be discussing how to build a social enterprise. And last but not least, I will encourage everyone listening today to nominate yourself for your startup or your favorite startup for a Startup Canada Award. The nomination deadline is July 20th, so we look forward to seeing your nominations. So a thank you again to everyone, to Adarsha, to Microsoft, and to all of our listeners. Have a great week, and happy startup.
Thank you so much, Catherine. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I wish all the startups and all the entrepreneurs out there all the very best. And it's been an absolute pleasure being on Startup School. Fantastic place to be.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.